Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Wednesday. We always love having our next guest on. We refer to him simply as the coach. He is Big Joe's best friend and the head coach at Eastern Kentucky University. Coach Walt Wells is with us. Coach, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great today. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're fantastic. You got to be – I know, look, every game's important, but Austin Peay, you know, being not too far from us here and obviously a rival, they've had a good season. I know you got to be fired up for that game this weekend.
Oh, no question about it. I'm just glad that the rain got out of here. We got a beautiful sunny day. Good chance to get out and practice. We had a good one yesterday. So Austin Peay's got a great team. They've done a great job there, and I know they're coming in riding high and ranked as high as they've ever been and beat an FBS opponent. So, I mean, they're a good football team. So it's going to be a fun Saturday and Saturday night, I guess, and looking forward to it.
How do you feel about your squad to this point? I know you've had some tough ones against Louisville, Marshall, but where do you think you guys are at this point in the season?
Yeah, right now I think we're coming off off week at a good time. It was time for us to do some self-scout and do some, looking at people at different positions and some different things. 2-1 in FCS play. So, you know, we lost to West Georgia, who Austin Peay just beat. Both of them ranked. So I think we're growing offensively. Defensively, we're one of the top teams right now in FCS, but we've got to score some points and play a little better on special teams, which I think we'll be able to do on Saturday if we do what we're supposed to. You know how that goes. Sometimes when you got young, inexperienced players, they seem to want to do some things. They listen to the wrong voice sometimes, so to speak.
Oh, I get that. Coach Walt Wells, Eastern Kentucky's with us. We got a ton of questions for you. First off, what is going on? We've asked Tim Hasselbeck this, other people. How do you coach guys that drop the football at the half-yard line? Why do they do that, and what do you tell them?
Well, I'll be honest with you. We were fortunate to have that happen for us on a pick-six opportunity that Houston Baptist had. And they dropped it right there, and it cost them an opportunity to get back into the game. And, you just got to talk to them about, listen, I get you want to do this and do that, but your number one goal is to cross the goal line with the ball. And it comes down to, is your act more important than the team's act? And you just got to continue to preach that. Your individualism can show once you get into the goal line. And once you are into the end zone, and you do all that and you want to do your celebrations, those are, I get it. Kids love to do that. I like it. I think it's fun to get the team hyped up, get the crowd hyped up. But I mean, guys, if you want to be a clown, then drop it before you get in there and you're going to get all the publicity you want that away.
Okay. So, something you just said that I was glad to hear. You said you like it. You like them showing the individuality. But I feel like, and maybe you're not in this category, but some coaches have kind of had to adapt to that because you know this. Way back in the day, that it's like, hey, you score a touchdown, you run back to the sideline, you hand the ball to the ref, like all those things. So we're seeing more individuality today, which I think is great. But I feel like these kids are also missing where the line is.
Right. And well, it comes down to the team is the most important thing, and affecting the team in a positive way and creating value for yourself in a positive way is what you're trying to do. I get it. Everybody, we've individualized the greatest team sport as much as we can by some of the things that we're allowing to go on. All right. And that's how it is. And that's what we got to do. But you can't take it onto the field. You can't take it into the locker room. And, your teammates have got to hold you accountable when that happens too. And so when you do make that mistake like that, you got to hold them accountable as teammates because that's who you're affecting. You're affecting your team and you're affecting them. Now, you look at what happened with Arizona against the Titans. You looked at there was another one that happened a week or two ago, and then I've seen it happen two or three times in college football. It just affects the team. And football is the greatest team sport. It is. And so when you do those things, you just need to understand, is it really that important that you put the ball out like that as you're going in there? Now, I get it if three guys are trying to tackle you and you're trying to dive and put it out there. I understand it. But when you're wide open, and you know if your hands are big enough to hold – I mean, some of these guys, they can put their hand around a football and their fingers touch. But some of these guys, you know, can't do that. It's just common sense, and it's taking it – you know, you got to take the individualism out of it. But like I said, when they get in the end zone, do what you want to do as long as you don't get a penalty. That's what I tell our guys. Listen, I can't tell you what they're going to call. If they call a penalty and it hurts us, then my ass is coming after you.
As it should. Okay, I get that. All right, we're talking to Walt Wells, Eastern Kentucky. They take on Austin Peay this weekend. Last year, you guys were down, was it 24-0, and y'all won in overtime?
Yeah, it was something like that. I can't remember the score altogether because it was not looking very good for us at halftime. And I remember challenging our defense at halftime not to let them score, and we had to get multiple possessions, and so we needed some three and outs and some they couldn't get a couple first downs and things like that. And we were fortunate enough to do that in the second half and get it to overtime. And then Josh Carter, our tailback, made a great play on the second play overtime, and they had to kick a field goal, and then we scored a touchdown and walked off. So it was a great game.
With that being said, so much turnover in the portal. Can you bring that game up to them? Can Austin Peay's coach bring that up to his team? Because there are so many new faces. That game doesn't mean a lot to all the new guys, right?
No, I don't think it does as much as it used to, obviously. And, you know, just like us, we had 27 seniors. So we graduated 27 people, and then two of our kids, you know, I'm sitting here watching one kid that's at Purdue and one kid that's at Virginia that played the whole game, you know, on defense and offense for us. So, I mean, you don't see that. Their quarterback was at Mississippi State. So all he remembers is Mississippi State beating us, you know, 39-0 the first game of the year. And so, you know, it's those types of situations with the portal and everything. You know, the rivalry is still probably there, but it's not, you know, from year to year, it's because of institution to institution and how it's become one.
I see that, you know, with you guys, I mean, you play the big boys, the Power Four, and it's not as – the gap is not as wide as it used to be, right? I mean, there's a lot of good football players on your level, group of five level, that are now competing because they want to show how good they are too, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that there is some of that that goes on. It depends on what year, you know, what year you are. Like if you look into our league, Tarleton State, who's ranked, I think, second or third in the league, they have, I think, 40 to 45 juniors and seniors playing for them. I mean, that's you know, very rare. Like us last year, we had 27 guys that were seniors. You know, not all of them played, but there were, you know, 27 seniors on our team. You don't get that rarity like that as much as you used to because of, you know, people are plucking all our players. So I think you're right in some ways, Joe, but I also think year to year it can change because you may think you're going to have a good team, but I know right now, you know, there's guys evaluating every one of our players at P4 level and deciding whether or not in January, if this when this thing passes this week, in January, whether or not that window is going to be open and whether or not they want them to come be a part of them. Like last year, we lost our linebacker in January, but our offensive tackle that was an All-American, he didn't go in until, you know, 7 days of spring practice. And so, you know, I'm sitting there thinking we got him. And then some agent from Dallas calls him out of the blue. He never met him and got him to go in the portal and had him at Purdue in 2 weeks.
Good Lord.
And guess what? He's not on the team there anymore.
Oh. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, be careful what you want, right?
Well, yeah, and the other kid that went to Virginia, you know, he's not starting, but he's having a heck of a, you know, he's playing a lot over there, and they're having a heck of a year. And, you know, I mean, I get, you know, I understand it all. It's just, you know, it's hard to maintain some continuity at times, and you just got to figure it out and continue to do program building things and team building things. And, you know, you really got to be selective of who you bring into your program. But then how are you selective when you only have, you know, one visit and a couple, you know, month to get to, you know, a couple weeks to get to know them, where, you know, used to you're recruiting guys for 2 years and you got to had them multiple times up on your campus and got to know them. And then, you know, they come through the high school ranks and things like that. So we still do a lot of high school recruiting.
Good.
So Walt, on the flip side of that, how much are you and your scouts paying attention to guys that, you know, might have been highly recruited, but they're at a P4 school and they're not playing, and you think, okay, there's a good chance they might become available, and it's kind of the same thing that we've seen the last few years of maybe they want to come to you, play, and then they probably leave again. But how much are you looking at some of those guys?
Well, we are. We do. Like, our nose guard came from Kentucky, University of Kentucky, and he won a lot of state championships here in the state, was from Boyle County, which is about 40 minutes from us. We knew all about Tommy, knew we didn't have a chance at him, you know, coming out of high school because he was going to Kentucky, committed early, those type things. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you follow those guys to see what their success is. And if their success is probably not what they are hoping, then you're hoping that, you know, we'll be the place that they want to fall to. And like, he's come in, didn't get a lot of playing time there, but man, he's lighting it up for us. And he's doing a good job for us. And so he's got, you know, 1 year after this. And so hopefully, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, hopefully we get to keep him around, you know, but I also know other people, D linemen are hard to find.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. So you can clarify things because we're pretty stupid on this show. So when a guy – like, there was a quarterback at Pittsburgh the day who declared he's going to enter the portal. All right. When he says that, is he still on the team or is he not on the team anymore?
No, well, it depends. Every coach has his different set of rules. Every coach has different things. Like, you can put anything you want to on social media, right?
Yeah.
So they can go out there right now and say, hey, they can be at practice and have somebody post that they're going in the portal. Well, then that coach has got to make the decision. What are you doing? Are you going in the portal? Yeah. Why are you going in the portal? Well, okay. But I want to stick around this year. Well, okay. You know, you make that decision. Do you want him to stick around or not? Or no, you need to go on and just wait to go in the portal. I mean, they can't go into the portal until, you know, if this new rule passes, until January.
Okay, let me ask you this, all right, and not to put you on the spot. If a player comes to you and you really like him and he says, I'm entering the portal, do you coach him less? Do you say, all right, you're not going to be here long term, I'm going to bench you? I mean, this is not found in the coaching handbook, I'm pretty sure, right?
Well, this is the new coaching handbook you have to look at, all right? Well, how good are you? Okay. What can you, are you going to still practice hard? Are you still going to do the things you have to do to be a part of the program? That's how I look at it. Like, you know, don't come in here and tell me, well, I'm going in the portal, I'm not going to do this. No, then you're not going to be here.
Okay. I get it. All right. So let me ask you this off of that. So
now, I haven't had anybody do that.
Right.
Other than once I had a guy do it and say, hey coach, I'm graduating in December. I'm not playing a whole lot. But I am playing some, and I'm going to go somewhere and get my master's paid for and play a year there.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, I get that. So I just want you to know so you can plan on that spot being open.
Okay. All right. So when Brent Pry gets fired at Virginia Tech, within that window of the 3 or 4 games and guys can transfer, can they transfer immediately? And if they do, they can't.
No, because you're in school. So right. it still goes back to the old rules like that. You're in school. What they're trying to do is either save themselves from getting injured, save themselves a red shirt, whatever it is. What you don't see, and if you kind of followed it, last year and the years prior, there was a ton of kids that were jumping into portal during the season, right?
Yeah, right.
You haven't seen that as much this year because the contracts now are stating that if you don't play, then you don't get paid.
Oh, okay.
So if you went out and bought 2 Chargers and three dogs and you're living in a lavish rental spot, and all of a sudden your rev share doesn't show up, or your money for NIL doesn't show up, and you got to pay bills, then reality's hit. I can't take my ball and go home just because I'm not happy.
Right. All right. So you're still a student regardless. Anything else, student is first and foremost.
Student is first and foremost. And the only time that can happen is if they haven't started school yet.
Okay. That's interesting.
And so it can't happen because most schools don't start until mid-August. Well, then you've already started practicing, and you can't do it anyway. So you only had that window in May that you could jump in there and go in, unless you were a graduate. And now they're trying to change some of the rules on that, and that should be coming out this week, first and next week, how they're already going to define all this stuff. And they're starting to leak, but I haven't seen anything from the NCAA yet.
All right, so that makes sense, because remember when Kiffin left Tennessee to go to USC, Ed Orgeron was on the phone that night with every recruit, because the thing was, if they went to class the next day, they couldn't leave. And Orgeron, the slimy bastard he is, was trying to tell those kids, come to USC, because if you step foot in class, I can't get you. Is that right?
Yeah, and just think, how many years ago was that, Joe?
2010.
All right, so that was, what, 15 years ago?
Yes.
Now that's perfectly legal, and actually – frowned on if you don't do it that way.
Oh my gosh,
that's crazy.
That's 15 years later. He's not slimy. He was 15 years ahead of the game.
I'm sure he would tell you that,
right?
Hey, really?
I mean, it's like I heard a story about him the other day. He's jogging down Miami Beach where he lives at, and he says, "I'm recruiting all the one stars to the five stars from there. I know all about all of them." I don't think he's talking about players, though.
Walt Wells is with it. Hey, I want to ask you real quick, and I don't know how much you can or want to comment on this, but there's a report that the NCAA has adopted a proposal to allow student athletes and athletic department staff to bet on professional sports, which is a big shift from the way it used to be. Is this opening up another can of worms?
I don't think so. I'm sure it is. I mean, every time you change a rule, people are going to find different ways to break the new rule. Okay. I don't see how us gambling on a professional football game is going to affect anything. I really don't, because I mean, I have no say so in that. And, I mean, even if I had players that were up there playing, if I call them and say, "Hey, throw this game for me," they're not going to do that. I mean, that's not how it works. But the problem is there'll be something that generates that away.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a problem with it, because nowadays, I mean, here's what I got to worry about. I've got signs over all our urinals in the facility. I've got a sign over all our urinals in the locker room that says don't bet on it, and talks about the gambling and the app, because all these kids got the app.
Yeah.
And so now – FBI is having to research these guys on gambling and how it's going to affect. I don't know. I'm not smart enough probably to say how it can affect in the future, you know, college people betting on professional stuff, but I am against it in college. I think it's
sure,
you know, it's too tempting. And, you know, when somebody gets in a situation, they're going to find any way they can to get out of it. And that might be one way. And, you know, it affects young people's mind. I mean, you get into a lot of things there that there were reasons that the people before us put all these rules in, like the transfer portal rule, like paying players and all that. And doesn't mean they don't need to be tweaked. And because there were some hard rules against kids, or rulings against kids that affected them in negative ways. And because you were just so hardcore on your rule that you created, you know, problems. I mean, there's always exceptions, but I just think all that stuff was put in place for a reason. It's just like right now with college football, we've gone back to 1960 and 70, where it's going to be the haves and have nots.
Yep.
And that's okay, but that's how it's going to be. I mean, the teams in FBS that thrive on football, you know, your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Georgias, your Floridas, your Tennessees, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Penn State.
Right.
They're going to have all the pluses, and all the other ones aren't, because, you know, everybody's saying, well, they're dividing all the talent. Well, they are, but they're still got all the money. So the best players are still going to go to those certain places.
Sure.
And they're going to keep winning. And because if you keep rolling these kids in and out of universities, I mean, I saw something the other day where a guy had been to 5 universities.
Was his name Walt?
Yeah, not for the reasons that I went to him.
Oh, man. His name was Joe.
I mean, if they're flunking out every 5 minutes, sure, I get that.
Right.
but you know, it's just, I mean, all these rules, these changes, you know, it's just like anything. They say kids are different. No, they're not. They're the same dang kids. It's just new problems.
Oh, exactly.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, you know, in the 60s, it was the war, right? And it was marijuana. Well, it's still marijuana. You know, it's still this because it's not legal. And,
right.
You know, and all this, that. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's just generational problems that come around that are new, and you got to navigate them. And that's just like with the transfer portal and the commitment with the money. These kids are finding out what it's like to be an adult at 18. And I don't know if that's really fair.
No, now, it's not.
You know, now you say, hey, there was a draft and kids had to go to war at 18 and find out what that was like. Was that fair? No, that's not fair either, but that's how it was founded, and that's what it was, and that's where we're at. So, I mean, there's all kinds of arguments you hear in this. And bottom line, 75 to 85% of these kids, all they want to do is get an education, line up, and play football.
That's the way it should be. Hey, real quick before you go, I know you and I did about 9 spring breaks together, but
yeah.
Chase and I are headed to Vegas this weekend. Absolutely. Only thing missing is you, man, so – I'll keep our adventures to my heart about our journeys throughout our early youth.
Right. You have a lot of fun out there in Vegas. Are y'all going to the Raiders? Oh, the Raiders are playing the Titans, aren't
yep.
they?
Yeah, we're going, yes.
We may be doing UNLV Air Force, too.
My first DFO here works at Las Vegas as I guess he's a DFO kind of type guy out there, too. So I was going to say I can hook you up,
yeah.
But probably not this late.
No, we got tickets. We're good. No. No, that's fine. We're just going to go out there and have a good time. I always harken back to our road trips to Florida, and it was always something to remember.
Well, just know this, Joe. My mom's listening. She called me today and said she saw that. So let's keep those road trips to a minimum and let her imagination at 93 years old still work.
let's put the word mission in front of trips. So we had mission trips.
We were on a mission. That's for sure. We were on a mission, and we felt like it was from God.
That's right. Sure. There you go.
There you go. Coach, appreciate it as always. Best of luck this weekend against Austin Peay.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a safe trip out to Vegas.
All right. Appreciate you, Coach. Love you.
Coach Walt Wells joining us here on the program. Head coach, Eastern Kentucky. Always appreciate the coach when
you get him
comes
winding up, man.
Oh, I know. I love it, though. I love it. That was great. That was good stuff.
Who do we got next, buddy?
Coming up next, captain of the Nashville Predators, Roman Josi, will join the show. You'll hear from him on the other side. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.